Let me just say before we begin, there's a sense of frustration with the way these meetings are going. Please don't leave, Carol. And one of the reasons is we're not sticking to the schedule because people are not abiding by the rules that we've tried to set up, and just ask questions and not make 3 and 4 and 5 minute comments about things that you will obviously get a chance to do that when it comes to the voting time within a few short weeks. And I think, you would be doing the department heads a favor if you could at least, recognize when the schedule is set and we would try to keep to that schedule if we could. And if it's me being a bad job as a chair, I'll take responsibility for that. But I also don't want to be rude to you, overly rude, because I have a sense that I am sometimes anyway, and that's not the way to run a meeting, I recognize. But, Sean, you're up next. Go ahead.
Thank you. I provide you a yellow sheet. It's just
you
a
want
snatch.
To go from back there? You know. Huh? You're okay back there and not at the table?
Oh, I don't think you can hear me.
Good evening, everyone. I provided you a yellow sheet. It's just a snapshot of our caseload and what I'm going to discuss today. I have 3 OTR requests. I looked at our budget, and I took in consideration the tough fiscal times we're having. So one of the things I did do was reduce our paralegal aid position to a part-time. That's why it's no longer reflecting 4.0 FTEs, but 3.5. The first OTR is for our fringe, and that's for $19,810. The second FTE is to make the paralegal aid position a 0.5. According to our budget, it's at 0.48. That's why I requested the $587 to make it an even 0.5. And just for a reference, last year we did fill that position with rollover funding. I also requested a third OTR, which is for legal interns, in the amount of $5,288. And that's to help us out with the reduction of the paralegal aid position in order for us to keep our cases flowing in the 180-day statutory time frame. That's a quick nutshell version.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Martha.
Well, you get bonus points for brevity. So on the second OTR, how do the benefits work? Does this person, if they're a half-time, do they get benefits, and less than half-time they don't?
Yes, that's an option, yes.
No, I mean sort of by our contracts.
County, it's in the contracts, it's anything over 30 hours is considered full-time.
Okay.
That's not the question.
The benefits
is the question. They have to be at least half-time.
Yeah.
I heard too many people talking at once. If you're half-time, which is how many hours?
Depends on the circumstance.
It depends on how that position has been classified. So if it's a 40-hour position, 20. And that's the benefit threshold. Above halftime, you're eligible for benefits. Below halftime, you're not.
So if this $587 is not added to the budget, the person then is below halftime and doesn't qualify for benefits?
That's correct.
And right now that person has benefits. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Sean, how many people do you actually have in the office now? 4?
We have 4.
Counting yourself?
We have 4, yes.
And it's almost 0.5, and then
That's correct. And then one person has just been reduced. We had her for the entire year. She's just been reduced. That's why I feel comfortable going to the 3.5.
Okay.
I do have an intern filling her spot now currently.
All right. So you have...
So I still have four bodies.
Four bodies.
That's
okay.
Correct.
Good. Thank you.
Anyone else? Julie?
You spoke so economically. I missed what you said about what the interns were going to do and for what period of time. They're replacing something.
That's correct. Our interns, we're very, very particular about the interns we bring on board. We look at their background experience. A lot of our students, they're either law students or they're working in the labor relations department, pursuing that particular degree at Cornell University. And we are very successful in working with the interns as far as training them on how to do our investigations. And just so you know what my background, Dooley, I have worked with students. I was awarded a teaching fellowship when I graduated from law school. So I had about 2 years' worth of experience working with students and training them on how to work through an actual case. So I basically set up our office in the same format. And they're actually working on cases. When I say that, they're meeting with clients. They're doing the intake memo. They are doing the summary of the investigation. They're helping out with the fact-finding interviews. They're conducting research. They are interviewing clients if need be. They're asking for additional evidence if need be. They work all the way through into the actual drafting of the determination. And so I take them through step by step on how to work with that. I've been fortunate because generally, if we get a student, they stay with us. We have a student right now. We got her from high school, 12th grade. She graduated. She participated in our moot court competition. She worked with us upon graduation, and she's at Cornell. She's in her fourth year, about to graduate. We've had her all 4 years. And so we've been really successful in keeping our students. Once we get them, we usually have them for a year to 3 years.
Do you have the budget book in front of you?
I can't hear you.
Do you have our budget book in front of you?
No.
I'm looking at your line item budget, and I'm not sure where interns are reflected, or do you not pay for them?
No, the interns, what they do is put them in a personnel line, and then some of the money has flowed out of the professional service line, or they're sitting in a personnel line. And then the paralegal aid is what we've used to supplement some of that salary.
When you say personnel line, do you mean the personnel department or a personnel line
no,
in your
the
budget?
The personnel line, because our operating expenses are very limited. And I don't have it in front of me. The other thing I just want to share with you is that the way we work with the schools is that they pay a large percentage, and they bill us later on for our percentage. Some of our students we get for free because they come with grant programs. During the summer is generally when we would have to pay the students. We want to keep them on because that's when they don't have funding if they're not attending college. So they kind of flow in and out. And the way it works now, we have to resubmit every single time we have a student on for a time period. So we have someone from January to May. We have to resubmit a vacancy explaining to our county administrator where the funding's coming from. And then for like the summer session, we had the same student. We resubmit again for the summer and where the funding is coming from. And we keep continuing that. Like the one student we have now, we've done it 3 times for her this year. So
the interns are to fill in for the cut in paralegal? Is that what you said earlier?
Yes, that's what I'm seeking.
Carol?
Kevin, if you find it, tell me.
I'm sorry. And then Pat, Carol, then Pat.
Well, she's a project assistant.
I'm just
depending on how we set up their funding. That's why I was trying to give you different examples. If it doesn't help you. We have one now that we funded through the summer directly. And it would have been in the project assistant line, so I couldn't tell you why it's not there. Yeah, I couldn't tell you why it's not there right now.
All right, I heard it was Martha Carol Pat.
Thank you. Did you say you're a 40-hour work week?
I'm a 40-hour work week, Martha. Our senior paralegals, 40-hour. The other two positions are 35 hours.
But now 35.
That's correct.
Okay. So this raises a question for me, and maybe it's a Joe question. It seems like our departments are, you know, pretty variable in this. Is it possible to get a list that says this is what each department is on the what's a full work week? So that
absolutely.
Thanks a lot.
The other option, Martha, too, is I think the 37.5. That's another option that some departments use as well.
I just want to clarify: it would be 3.5 FTEs before or after the over target request?
After the over target request.
Okay. So round it up.
Okay. So what's in our big bucks always includes, Joe, or Kevin, that always includes with the over targets. Thanks.
If the county administrator recommends it.
No, it's reflected in there.
There's been variation in.
There has been.
That's rounding. If you look in the base budget itself on page 133, personal services, you got FTE 3.48.
So.
Because what happened last year is that we had enough rollover, so I put the whole shebang in there, basically, what we were allowed to put in. And so it reduced that target amount to a 0.48. The balance of it, in order for us to keep it full-time, I supplemented with our rollover. But in order to make an even 0.5, I would need an additional $587. That's the difference that's in our target, because the current target is 18,104. And to make it a 0.5, it would be 18,691.
Okay. Thank you.
I have Carol Pat, then Leslie. Did you ask a question?
All
right, Pat, and then Leslie.
My question was answered. Thank you.
All right.
So, Sean, I'm going to ask this question in increments so I can understand better. So I'm picking up where Martha left off. What is reflected, and maybe Joe, you as well, in our big books on 133 is what's being proposed for funding in terms of FTEs, 3.48. Is that correct? And the rollover is to make that number 3.5. Thank you. Not rollover, the OTR.
Okay. That's correct.
It's to make that number 3.5.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Excuse me.
You're done. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you so much. Now I have to race to the high school.
While Peter is gearing up, on your desk, Kevin gave an answer to Martha's question and Carol Chalk's question from TCAT. So please note that you have that.
Where is it?
You didn't print it out? You forgot it?
I'm sorry, what?
Okay. I have one.
You
print
have
out.
This.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Jim. I missed you. What'd you say?
Never mind. It's like that. Rosanna Dana. You know. Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to try to also be brief, so we'll give you time for your questions. this slide basically just shows the total expenditures. We're talking about the sheriff's office budget now, not the jail, but which includes the road patrol, criminal investigators, civil, clerical. Shows you what the target amount is and the percent change. And the FTEs reduction, that's not quite correct. We only lose one under the county administrator's recommendation. We would lose three with the whole change, with the whole 6.9 without any restoration, 7.4 or whatever it ended up being. I'll take the next slide. Oh, okay. Again, the same type of slide, just showing the total expenditure of local dollars. This is after the revenue situation, comparing 2010 and 2011. They're essentially identical numbers. And then the target increase, rollover, the requested OTRs were 301,000 and change. County administrator recommended 192, so out of that we lost 109,000 on the law enforcement side of the house. Go ahead. The OTR summary sheet is for filling two deputy sheriff positions, one clerical position. The equipment funding is essentially leftover rollover, as you'll see in future sheets, because our equipment had to be zeroed out to meet this OTR across the board cut that you gave us. The vehicle funding is a substantial reduction both in my request and in the county administrator's recommendation. My initial request was $112,000. We're going to end up with about enough money to fund three cars. Normally we purchase at least five plus a few extra $1,000 in there to pay for the lights and sirens repairs. But this year, under the county administrator's recommendation, it'll just be three vehicles. Keep in mind, we travel between 700,000 and 800,000 miles a year with our vehicles. Next line.
Could you repeat those numbers? What do you usually request? Request five?
At least five. Mm-hmm. You know, in the old days, when I had rollover, I used to use rollover to buy two or three cars and try to keep five in the budget, because the reality is if you're traveling 700,000 to 800,000 miles a year and you're replacing a vehicle with 100,000 miles, you need to buy seven or eight cars every year. So, but we're not in the old days anymore. There's got to be a better phrase than that. But in any event, I'm sure one of you will come up with it. The summary of the OTR, that just breaks out what I just told you as far as we're using $10,000 with the rollover, last year's rollover, for help towards purchasing cars and $7,000 towards purchasing equipment because the equipment line was zeroed out. Next line. Before we go to the jail.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Yeah. Yes,
sir. That last one about that? Oh, I'm sorry. That's priority four. That's not four vehicles.
No.
I'm going to say it's a heck of a deal at $28,000. Sorry.
You want to buy a couple, Frank?
You want
next
in
on your list.
Okay. Let me just talk for a minute about the sheriff's office side, the patrol side, law enforcement, clerical, before we move to the jail. As I sat in front of you this time last year, I told you the cuts of 15% that we were never going to be able to sustain without major program reduction. We all but almost eliminated our water patrol this year. We eliminated the snowmobile patrol in 2010. We're not intending to use it again in 11 unless there's an emergency situation. It's essentially the same thing we're going to do with the boat again. We had it out a couple weekends and for a couple special events, and that was it, and that's all we're planning to do in the next cycle under this budget. If you can't grant at least the amount of money that the county administrator is recommending, we're going to have to cut more drastically as far as patrol services. We have cut every supply line. We have eliminated equipment entirely except for that one-time money that's left from rollover that we generated from last year's budget. So there's no target funding for equipment for law enforcement in the 2011 proposal, just so you understand how important it is. And the vehicle funding target has been drastically reduced. It means next year, when your pension costs increase and you come across with another 5 to 7 or 8% across the board money, there will be nothing left to put up there except people. Right now, there's three people on the line, two deputy sheriffs and a clerk, and the clerk was not recommended by the county administrator. My hope is that we can consider funding that clerk on a one-time basis during the course of 2011 with the hopes, and I don't have a guarantee, with the hope that the software system that you have just approved starts in December and that we get the bugs worked out and learn how to understand it and evaluate that 10 months from now. That's a short period of time because it won't even be implemented until December, but nonetheless, evaluate that 10 months from now and see if that will allow us to get by with only three clerks. Keep in mind, we caught a clerical staff without a budget request or without a request from the legislature 3 years ago because we decided it wasn't necessary at the time. So we've tried to take every proactive step possible. We've looked through every contract we can look through. We've eliminated expenses. We're going to eliminate some more expenses next year because there's not a dime of fluff in this budget anywhere for law enforcement, and there's not any extra money put aside if we have major crimes. So if we do, then there's going to probably be an associated bill with it. I just need to let you know, if we go beyond what we normally handle, you will most likely see additional expense. We will do everything within our power. I want to make sure you understand that's not a threat or a promise. I want to make sure you understand that that's a variable that is not budgeted for. We will do everything in our power to judiciously watch the budget, as I have the entire time I've been here, and make sure that any expense we can reduce or eliminate and save any money to make purchases along the way, although there's not much left other than salaries in this budget, we will do so in order to try to manage it in the event that there are some other mitigating circumstances where crime comes up. But I just want to make sure that you get a sense of just how drastic this is on the law enforcement side. We're now into three full-time positions that were funded in 2010. Joe's recommended two. I'm requesting that you one-time fund this position. My sense is that I will have, in the old line, Frank, you'll remember this, the old anticipated rollover, Dooley might remember that, that I anticipate in non-salary lines we will have money left over from this 2010 budget to pay for that one-time expenditure.
Frank had his hand up, and then Martha, Dooley. Wait, let me write it down. Go ahead.
Peter, what on page 219, before you go on to the jail, I want to talk about the sheriff's office for a second. Road patrol deputies, we've got 26 listed there.
Yeah.
A couple of questions. First, are there any out on disability? How many do you have, if you can say, of the 26? Do you have a full contingent of 26 or a couple out?
No, I have
out?
24.
So there's two out. We're still using the closest car concept?
Absolutely.
So how effective, have you gotten any notice from the state? Is the state cutting back on the state police coverage?
I have not received any notice to that, Frank, but I will tell you, it's been public information over the last couple of years, that the governor froze any new police academies for New York State Police for the last 2 years. And in speaking with some people, and I cannot speak for the state police and will not, they say on an average they lose 200 positions a year in their force by attrition. You have to keep in mind they have a force of 4,500 to 5,000 people. So if they've lost that in 2 years' time, then they have to spread their resources, like I spread mine countywide, they have to spread theirs statewide for all their different responsibilities. We answer in excess of 80% of the 911 calls and calls for service, period, that come through the county dispatch center that are non-village, non-city related calls.
Last one. At the luncheon yesterday that some of us attended for the Youth Bureau and the Tompkins County Youth Services,
At our table, a question came up and was asked of me, what would happen if the sheriff's office only provided those services that are mandated? The only two that I remember that are mandated are that we need a jail and that the sheriff's office is supposed to provide civil delivering papers.
Civil's a little more than delivering papers, but yes, though you're correct, civil, Frank. Constitutionally, under New York State law, the sheriff's mandate under the law is to operate the correctional facility and do civil work.
So essentially that would devastate the office?
Well, you'd have a whole lot of layoffs, and I think you'd have a lot of angry residents that don't know how the 12,000 calls a year we answer are going to get answered when we answer 80% of the total volume of calls outside the incorporated areas.
Well, I did the best I could in making sure that we weren't cutting road patrol, Peter. thank you.
Okay.
I have Martha, Mike, Peter, Carol.
Thank you. So I'm looking at OTR, your second priority, the clerical position. It's page 65 of the big book. So your request was for 60.8, including fringe, and that was not recommended. Are you saying that you don't have rollover in this year to put towards that, but you expect when David does his calculations that you will have rollover for 2011?
Well, rollover is always a year behind. We're right in the current 2010 operating budget. Rollover that I had this year is showing up on that sheet right there, 10,000, 541, and 7,000. To be able to augment the purchase or supplement the purchase for a third vehicle and to purchase equipment that had been zeroed out. That's where we put that $17,000 rollover. It was purposely put in the equipment lines because I didn't think I ever had permission to put rollover money into supplementing ongoing expenses of payroll. So we never asked for anything like that. My suggestion here is that I'm fairly confident that based on my budget review and my current operating expenses and what my revenues are and what my normal anticipated revenues are, is that we'll have rollover from excess revenues that were paid this year that weren't paid from the last couple of years. That's the source of the rollover, just so you have a sense of that. There was money that was due us the last few years that wasn't paid, and we finally got the money this year. So that money, windfall, whatever you want to call it, will be there in a non-salary line rollover. And my suggestion is that, if possible, I'd like to get one-time money, probably in the neighborhood of $50,000. I think we can do the position in a different way, and I think we can do it in such a way where it won't even go for the first month, and maybe it won't go with the last month. So we'll squeeze it up. I don't think I need $60,000. If I was going to permanently fund that position, yes, we'd need $60,000 for the wages and benefits. But being how that we're going to go out on the rope with, if we can find somebody that wants to be polite for that, knowing up front that it's going to be a limited time opportunity, then we can do that. And I'm hoping that our new electronic system will not continue the need for this. We don't have the option of doing a part-time position by our labor contract. The work week is a 40-hour week, so there's nothing I can do about that. I can't bring in somebody for 20 hours a week and cover X, Y, and Z. If I could, that would probably be the recommendation I'd make to you, but I can't.
So when would we actually know about the revenue and whether this is possible? I'm a little nervous about, you know, sort of making a decision on that basis.
I'm already over revenue. I've already received more revenue in my budget for the month of September than's programmed, and there should be easily 4 to 5 more months of airport revenue, which runs around $18,000 to $20,000 a month, and that's essentially guaranteed revenue.
Mike,
we've been talking in the budget about basic services, and certainly in my district, with the exception of the village of Dryden, the Sheriff's Department is the basic police service we have. Peter, you talked about only three police cars. Can you help me understand a little better how many cars you have? And your usual replacement, you said, was at least five. What's that going to do? Are we going to have a lot more breakdowns? Are we going to have cars off the road and patrols not happening? What does this mean?
It'll mean cars are going to be made to last longer. It'll mean it'll be more expensive. We try to do a program where on a patrol vehicle, we go 95 to 100,000 miles. Because based on our experience, when we push it much farther than that, we start getting into the major repairs, rear ends, transmissions, engines, major front end rebuilds. Those are the things we've experienced when we've tried it a couple different times. So we try to rotate the cars through. I can't tell you the exact number off the top of my head. I would say I probably have 32 to 34 cars in total, not patrol cars, but vehicles in total. There are three that are being prepared for auction in 2 weeks, and two of those three will never be replaced. They're going away. They're going out of the fleet. The other one has already been replaced, so those three cars going to the auction will not be replaced. And more than likely, depending on where we are and how you fund positions, we're going to spend the money for two or three cars, whatever the dollar amount is that we can spend to do that, and we'll replace the cars that need to be replaced. And what it will do is make us change assignments for people in 2011, but it'll exacerbate the replacement program in 2012. It'll get to the point, as I told you last year, we could get by with what you gave us for the fleet. I can make this work for the most part in 2011, but you will see me here this time next year asking you for a purchase of a large number of vehicles because everything has got 100,000 plus miles on it. That's what happens. Our patrol cars, with the exception of the ones that are assigned out to one people, the canine person is assigned out to one, the DARE car is essentially assigned out to one, but the other patrol cars that aren't assigned out like that typically need to be replaced every other year. We push 50,000 miles a year on them with two deputies permanently assigned to each vehicle, and then those vehicles being used for additional jail transports and or when other cars are in the shop, whether it be body shop repair or whether it be normal auto maintenance. So I guess the point I want to make to you, and I probably should have started out that way, is if you give me what the county administrator recommended, we'll make do. We're going to have a real hard time without at least one-time money in the clerical. But this constant reduction now of 20-some percent just in the last 2 years alone will leave us at the point where if you make any further reductions in 2012, we're going to have to go right into staff and go right into patrol services program.
I had Peter Carroll Dooley.
Well, let's see, you answered the question that I was going to ask you, but I got my slot here, so I'm going to try to...
You don't want to yield your 2 minutes to Dooley?
No.
Okay.
So, you know, one thing I know is cars get better all the time. They last longer if you do the scheduled maintenance than they used to, and they're always getting better. So is there some kind of a professional standard in police work about how often you should... You know, where the trade-off between maintenance and replacement financially comes, at what miles, and is your program better or worse or equal to what is the accepted value?
There is no standard for what we've tried to do over the years, and we haven't done it in two or three, is analyze carefully the cost of repairs, and I can tell you my repair budget has gone up. We used to budget $25,000 to $30,000. We budgeted $63,000 for it this year. We budgeted $63,000 next year, and I don't know if that'll hold. The situation is that they are a vehicle. While they are designed for law enforcement use, I can tell you that those vehicles are not babied. They are used, and they are used pretty extensively and pretty harshly, not by misuse, but just by the design of their work. So. From a standpoint that it represents each deputy's office for a 40-hour week That's their office, rolling down the road, other than when they're in briefing, out of briefing, or doing an investigation or something else at the office. So I think it's important to keep something that's reasonably reliable to serve the public, that's reasonably reliable and safe, that deputies can feel comfortable with going down the road, and that the public can expect us to get there in a reasonable amount of time and get there. Prior to me being sheriff, I remember back in the late 80s, early 90s, maybe the last term of Bob Howard, where they cut back some cars, and they literally had the wheels fall off a car going down 13 to a call. And I don't want to get in that situation where we're running 130 to 150,000 miles. We're going to put an engine in, and we're going to put a transmission in, and two things are going to happen. We're not going to get a good residual resale back, and you have poured in almost enough money we could have bought an entire new car. The engines run around $4,500 because I had to buy one 2 years ago. Transmissions are $2,500 to $3,500. So for me, the replacement schedule that we have works very efficiently. This year, when we took cars to the auction, we did really well with our cars. We netted $46,000. I think it was $44 was the net after the auctioneer's fee for our cars. And we got a good dollar amount for them because people wanted them. If you run them into the ground, you're going to get $1,000 versus $5,000 for them, plus put $5,000 to $10,000 more in them, in not maintenance, but major repair for the use of that car for another year. That's what I'm concerned about, and that's been my experience.
The other thing that really bothers me is that you're describing a system which is clearly not sustainable when you're saying you're living off your savings in a certain sense with the cars, that you're not replacing them as fast as they have to go, and we're looking at a time in the future when all the cars aren't going to be functional and then we're going to have a huge expense. And
that's correct.
That strikes me as not the right thing to do. I'm sorry, is it?
Well, personally, Peter, I don't believe it is, but I also understand they're tough times, and maybe if it's going to be better next year and then you can make a purchase of 8 or 10 cars next year to clean it up, I don't know what to tell you. The only problem is we're still in this cycle where we do X number a year. If we get to a point where we do a lot all at once, then it'll maybe be great the next year, but then we're into a lot all at once the next year because we replace them every two. So it's not a good replacement maintenance program.
I think there's still minutes.
No.
What are the number of people assigned to the airport?
We're required to patrol the airport 16 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And can you tell me anything, I may not be able to offhand, but the number of incidents in a year total and the number of any of import that require a person of that skill?
There is no incident or import to require that skill. It's called the federal government, the TSA, that requires our airport to have sworn law enforcement personnel, and we are the cheapest full-time sworn law enforcement agency in the county as far as
salary. Right, but the number of incidents that they actually handle a month, a year?
Not many.
Not many
at all, no.
Okay.
It's a requirement of the government, and the federal government pays X, and the airport pays Y. When the program first came out in, what was it, 2002, beginning of 2002, spring of 2002, they paid us the full shot, including anything with overtime. And my staff personally really liked that for a short amount of time until we hired, I told the legislature and the administrator at the time we needed at least 3.5 deputies to make it work. We got 3. So we were short from the beginning. We've been short ever since. And then the federal government changed the program a year later to a program where, no, we're going to do a contract. So then we had to sit down and try to negotiate with the federal government, and if you can imagine what that's like, and be successful to your side. So we settled for something we could get by with. And then a few years later, I think it was in 2004 or 2005, they come out with this 4 or 5 year contract that is essentially, they call it a partnership. And what it really means is the federal government cut their reimbursement almost by 50%, and you people have to pay for it, whether you're a city, counties, whoever.
Oh, wait. We now pay for...
You pay. The airport pays a portion of the cost of having a deputy there. They have been for the last 3 or 4 years.
Are we allowed to just say no? You don't have to answer.
I'm not. No.
And
that, maybe.
Are they allowed to go off within a certain number of feet or miles to handle?
As a rule, no. They're required to be there. We have a contract with the federal government that requires us to be at the airport or patrolling the airport environment.
If something happened at the health department, are they allowed to go that far or somewhere? I don't know. Is there any way we can piggyback on
Let me just tell you, we're in a public meeting, and I have a contract with the federal government, and we follow the letter of the law of the contract with the federal government.
Okay. And then on your budget, the total overall budget, I asked this of a couple of other departments. So in the end, the total county cost, again, I realize just to stay even, just to keep doing what we've been doing, or not even, rises by a total of $300,000, which is not all that much. And I'm just trying to, I just want to know so I can answer questions about
that's
it.
No, correct.
Between 2010 and the total...
No, not at all.
For two that required.
Flip back that slide. It's maybe 200,000.
I'm looking at
on that slide. You go back to go back to the one where the county administrator recommended. Right there. First of all, 301,403 represents OTR as I made. That does not represent the full restoration of the 6.9 to 7.4% cut. The cut is greater than that. Two, the county administrator recommended 192,294. So of his difference is 109. We're losing more than that. Just like last year's budget, I didn't come in and ask you for every dime of money that was cut to be put back in the budget. I asked and prioritized based on what our needs were. Actually, Carol, in 2010, in gross dollars, my budget at $4,335,050.31. Is that what your book says?
No. If you go back, go to your last slide.
No, your 2010 budget. Now your 2011 budget.
Keep going. It's this one. The total expenditure, local dollars. Is that? Yeah.
That's local dollars minus, that includes revenue.
Wait,
that's not the gross budget.
Mine says 4.073.
That's the jail.
Sorry. Okay. Okay, in my book, page 224, the total county cost, I'm recognizing that your activities are not rising. The question is...
My activities are rising.
How do we attribute... What is it that costs more? Is it just the fringe? Is it all fringe?
Carol, we had a 30% increase in fringe.
That's what I'm asking.
Most of my entire budget in both sides, my payroll is over, $2.5 to $3 million. So you had a 25 to 30% increase right there. That's why we're doing this whole exercise. Otherwise, I wouldn't have to be here to do this, and we could not have to worry about putting deputy sheriff's positions and the clerical position out on the line.
Yeah. My question is whether it's all attributable to the fringe or whether there are other costs that have gone up.
Line by line, my costs, I have left my budget the same.
No.
It's if I've got an increased cost, I'm eating it and I'm cutting money somewhere else.
Joe, do you want to? The simple answer is it's fringe.
It's all about the fringe.
Okay.
Julie. I'm sorry, Julie. It's your turn.
Right. Thank you. Peter, for patrol purposes, how many zones are there in the county that you use?
Based on our closest car concept with the state police and the villages, there are four zones that we break down.
You still use four? Okay.
Yes.
When you say that there should be three deputies on the road at all times, I thought maybe you had gone to three zones. So I didn't understand.
No. No, nothing's changed other than I'm just trying to keep a bare minimum on the street.
I'm looking at OTR Priority 1, number 77.
That's the two deputy sheriffs?
It's the two deputy sheriffs. Does your request include overtime for those?
No.
How much more would that be?
I'm not planning to put any more in. Last year, if you recall, we had the same struggle where a deputy sheriff was cut. I had to get it restored. It was restored only at base pay. We ate the overtime difference and fringe of that. And last year, if you recall, we cut 70-some thousand dollars out of overtime for the law enforcement budget. Right now, we're just getting by, even with open positions from the end of July and March. So we're really struggling because of some major crime incidents to stay on our payroll lines with unfilled positions.
Well, your regular line item budget does include lines for overtime.
Yes, it does.
That's why I was asking about this particular OTR. Thank you.
We didn't make any reduction to those because we've reduced that as far as we possibly can reduce it.
On priority number two, I look at the budget book and your request is for target for the clerical position.
Yes.
But you just told us tonight that what you're requesting is one time. And I wondered whether that had been discussed with the county administrator at the time he put this together. Because if it hadn't been, I wondered if the county administrator might support using one-time funds for this, as you see, if it will work to cut it a year from now.
When I discussed this, when I discussed my budget with the county administrator, we were one of the first ones this year. Usually it's the other way around. And we came in, made our presentation, and then we got notification that he felt he couldn't approve it. So the undersheriff and I have been searching for almost a month for a way to figure out how to do it, because since that employee has been gone since the middle of July, the work is backing up. So I said, we've got to do something to alleviate this, even with the new system coming on board here end of this year, beginning of next year. So I went to the county administrator last week, spoke with him, and explained the situation that I wanted to hire somebody in a lesser title for a little bit smaller time and make a request to you that we fund it one time with the hopes that that will take care of us for this year and the system will alleviate those problems because of the efficiencies and we won't need the clerk beyond it. I want to make it clear that's not a guarantee. It's my hope. It's the county administrator's hope. Sure it is all of yours, but I can't guarantee that.
So we should change page 65 with OTR to make it one time instead of target as your request as of tonight.
Well, that's up to you and whatever your process is. What I'm telling you tonight is that in an effort to try to gain that position, we should gain it for a 1 year with one-time funding at a max level of $50,000, including fringe.
Okay.
And then we'll see how it goes.
And Joe, do you support that approach?
I think it's a reasonable approach to a transition year.
So you might change your recommendation if it said one time?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Martha. I just want my book up to date.
Mark.
But to follow that up, Peter, you also made a compelling case about the situation with your cars. So if you had to choose and couldn't do both, with that rollover you expect next year, which is more important to you?
I don't have any rollover, Martha, going for cars for next year. My car.
What I'm saying is, if you had this, if you say we're actually going to get $50,000 in excess revenue that you expect, and you're asking that we consider putting it towards the clerk.
Yes.
However, you don't have anything else for cars.
No, I do. I have money for three cars.
I'm talking about next year.
Well, I'm hoping you're going to fund my cars next year.
And I'm saying, if you had to choose, and all we had to use was that excess revenue, which would you put as a higher priority?
Okay, let me. Either I don't understand your question, or you're asking it in a way that I can't answer it. So let me try this. The money that I'm proposing to use now to hire a clerk for 2011 is one-time money. It goes away. And it is rollover money that I am as confident as I can be will be there when David does his magic and certifies it. But the issue is that's one-time money. So it won't be available this time next year for me to spend in cars in 2012. Are you saying take that $50,000 as an example and add it to my 2011 budget to buy five cars instead of three?
No, well,
yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Or just hold on to it until this time next year and then put it towards cars next year.
You guys would never hold on to that kind of money for me. It's gone. I mean, if you were going to hold on to it, I don't think so, Martha, because with all due respect, I turned in a lot of rollover from payroll in 2009 that we never had access to use that you use for other things. So my sense is if we aren't allowed to use it for this, it's not going to be in the bank for the following year for me to use to buy a couple extra cars, unless you're going to give me the money to buy them. And in that case, I probably have enough to pay for the clerk and two cars come June when he certifies the rollover.
Peter, please use the microphone.
Yes. Thank you, Jim, for the reminder. I don't get it. I mean, it's too complicated for me, but if you got the money now and you're afraid to give it to us so you can buy a car next year, why couldn't you buy a car this year with the money?
Well, I'm not afraid to give it to you, Peter. It's your money. It's not mine. All I do is manage it for you as the sheriff. What I'm saying is, there's never been money set aside for that kind of thing ever before in anybody's budget like that. The rollover is the rollover. Either you allow us to expend whatever portion you allow us to expend, or you don't. It's just that simple. And I'm okay with that. I may not care for it, but I understand the economic times we're in, so that's the way it is. All I'm saying is that to fund this clerk, I need the clerk more than the cars.
Okay, yeah. Fine. That answers the question. Thank you. Okay.
For 2011.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's all I wanted.
Have we been to jail yet?
No.
No.
We're going to roll it on, Frank. I hope on a jail.
We're all just going to go to jail.
Dave, go ahead. Thank you, Dave, for asking a question.
Yeah. Peter, just ask one thing. What's your average number of cars? Did you say it was five that you normally buy?
Depends on the year. We run 700,000-800,000 miles. I budgeted for five for this year. I think I asked for five or six last year. I think I bought three on rollover and got three or four in the 2010 budget. Okay, as a rule, Dave, I've used rollover for years to supplement the lack of the regular budget being supplemented enough to purchase the needed cars annually.
Yeah, I'm just trying to come up with an average number of cars that you would buy, you know, over a given number of years. Say
over a given number of years, probably 6 to 7 cars a year on an average. Some years it could be 4 or 5. Other years it would be 7 or 8 because our unmarked cars don't go through the same type of replacement schedule every year. Those will last 5 to 7 to 8 years. The one I'm putting at auction this year is a 2000.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more on the law enforcement side? Thank you. The jail.
Well, I'm hoping the jail is a lot simpler because the jail budget has not changed anywhere except for the fact that the benefits went up. We have moved money within a couple of lines of the budget. Literally, we've gained some efficiencies in some areas, but the essence is that 5.4% increase in the jail you see is strictly the benefit increase based on payroll. It's the same number of people. There's literally the same dollar-for-dollar total number of expenditures on non-personnel items. And there are no OTR requests from the jail. We're razor-thin in the jail. The payroll's razor-thin right now. What's getting us by is the fact that we have the variances and we're not spending as much time on the road with those kind of transports. We're still doing a lot of rehab transports and other transports, but we're doing our best to hold the line, and we think we're going to just squeak by in the jail budget at the end of 2010.
Question. Jail. No question. Nate, you got a question? Oh, Frank, you have a question.
Should I frame this in the guise of a statement?
Frame it any way you want to.
Peter,
I've lost control.
Earlier tonight, Pat described some of the offerings that the jail, some of the offerings that probation had, and you commented that, at least I thought I heard you comment, that there's more going on for rehab in the jail than some might be aware. Can you say some of the things that you're, some of the services that you're providing?
Yes, Frank, thank you for the softball. I appreciate
it. Well, I'm interested for another reason.
Okay, but I appreciate it. One is we've been doing a reentry program that we started out with DSS, probation, and OAR. It's mainly between the sheriff and DSS and other outside providers, including faith partners and a few other people. But the essence of the program is we've had, in fact, I dropped off a report to public safety last month, but I literally brought it in at the meeting. Public safety will be reviewing it more carefully and discussing it next week. We've had about 65 to 70 people go through their program, and our success rate is about 90%. So the rest of all of 90% of those people that have been through their program have not been reincarcerated in our jail. So I think that's a really positive thing. That's a program where you're literally, other than a few hundred dollars here and there, a rollover to buy some supplies and equipment, we are doing within the confines of our current staffing levels, didn't increase staffing levels to make that happen, and we're working closely with social services so that people and OAR, so the people have contacts when they get out, they meet those people beforehand, and it sets up a successful program. It's a small program because we're a small jail, and it's a volunteer program. It's not mandated by the courts, but it's working extremely well. We offer, I think, some excellent educational programs again, and I couldn't say that before. BOCES has taken over the program, and we have two instructors in. We have a session in the morning, we have a session in the afternoon, and it's not just GED program. So we are offering some extra things. Those don't show up in my budget. Those are items that have been worked through the school district of home residents, and they're required to pay for it. And BOCES has found a very interesting way to utilize that money in a more productive fashion for the inmates. So I think those are two of the major changes over the last couple of years that have been positive for services that do make a difference for some of the inmates.
Just a follow-up, Jim.
Oh, sure.
And I'll make it quick. Peter, besides OAR, Faith Partners, and BOCES, the question I asked Pat before was, we have this array of agencies in town. Are there any off the top of your head that you know that the folks in the jail are taking advantage of? And I mean that from a positive standpoint.
As a rule, Frank, when they're incarcerated, they become your and my expense. We pay for all their food, their clothing, their health care. It's all paid for right out of my budget. So there's no other services, per se, that we're funding or that come in other than people that come in. There are groups, volunteer groups, that come in and present programs and services, AA, NA, other people like that. But those are active volunteer groups that we have set times for that come in. But there's nobody from, you know, somewheres that's coming in and presenting a program that costs $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a year, or that provides services. You, unfortunately, the way New York State law is, we pay for all of it out of our taxes via the sheriff's correction budget.
Thanks.
Yeah. So the overall budget is up 5%. And again, equivalent increase wouldn't the maintenance of effort have been 10% counting the fringe? Maybe that's a Joe question. So I'm trying to.
It would have been a little less than that. It depends on the concentration of labor within a department. The average seems to be mid sevens to mid eights.
Okay, so 5% increase means you've squeezed some percentage out from other lines. Could you tell me again what OAR does up at the jail?
Well, the main program OAR does is meets with people that have low bails and to see if they can bail them out. They do other programs. OAR has other programs, and they interview inmates. Specifically, I don't know their conversations because they're conversations in a room, so I can't tell you what OAR and inmate are talking about. But they're not a privileged conversation like an attorney's, but they're a quiet conversation that we leave as quiet. So that's how I see them. They're up in the jail 3 to 4 days a week, half day during those times, trying to bail people out that can meet their requirements.
And phone calls to OAR are free to inmates?
Phone calls through our phone system, ever since we put it in 1999 when I first got here, are free to OAR, free to Human Rights, and free to most assigned counsel attorneys. So that's an expense that we've been able to negotiate that reduces your costs in other areas.
Thank you.
Julie.
You mentioned the food program for people in the jail, and I notice in your line item budget there's a cut, and in general everything goes up in cost, so I'm wondering how you're managing to cut.
Well, as I reported out to public safety about 6 months ago, we went through, redesigned our menus, had a nutritionist come in, review them, and approve them, and we've been able to shave at least $500 a week on the food bill a week.
So it reflects current practice?
Yes.
Okay.
$500 a week?
The professional services line in the jail, this is under the medical and boarding unit. Professional services line is also down, and I wondered what was cut there.
We didn't cut anything there. That's the 3151 budget?
No. Maybe I'm reading the wrong.
That's 50. The 3151 account. Medical.
Yes, 3151 account.
3151 is essentially one of your old-time A red line accounts. That is the...
That's expensive.
Medical expenses and your board-out expenses. That number hasn't changed in a million years. The costs have, but the number hasn't, because the county board has never given me a target change for that. We take it out of, you guys take it out of contingency. You decide how much you're going to plug out of contingency and plug it in. That's a number that the county administrator for the last 5 years has decided what it would be, not the sheriff.
The professional services line is what I'm asking about.
Yeah, that's the doctor, that's the hospital, that's all the medical costs. Those are all medical costs with the exception of the nurse. That nurse payroll is in my 3150 budget because you can't have any salaries within a mandated budget.
So should I be asking Joe how the professional services would...
No, that 2630162 is the same number that's always been there. The modified budget is a budget that was modified where money was moved into it for one purpose or another, perhaps rollover money if there's any left. But keep in mind that 2010 modified, I don't know why that number was done that way, unless it was done by Joe to add extra money last year. I can't tell you.
Well,
why.
No, last year there was expenses that had to be settled up.
So that's the final adjustment.
Yeah.
That's the final adjustment of the numbers, one of my pet peeves with the county accounting system, where it doesn't show you how or where, it just shows up at the end of the year. And so every year when you try to rebuild your budget, if David does his magic, makes his adjustments, which he's required to by law, and he does a darn good job of it, it's that we don't have a good understanding of what was truly a spent unless we try to print it out and figure out just before he's going to make that adjustment. And for a 24/7 operation, it's a very difficult thing. For a standard 40-hour operation where you don't have a lot of overtime, you don't have anything else going on, you don't have 24/7 care of people. We're the only department in the county that has 24/7 care of people. Those are variables that make the job very variable.
I thought mental health had some of that too, but maybe not.
I don't believe they have a residential facility where they care for people 24/7. That's what the jail is.
So, I do know that, right, Peter. So I really am puzzled about this, and maybe I need to talk with Joe about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we need to note also that the numbers come way down because of the variance situation.
Yes, it has.
We're not boarding out nearly as many prisoners now as we did 2 years ago. So what I'll try to do is get a consolidated report to you from both sources, from the contingency account and the sheriff's account, to show you those expenses over the last few years.
I thought I was looking at the medical, the expensive medical thing where occasionally we have to board out a person with mental difficulties.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, that's why it's an A mandate.
Yes, and I wasn't asking about the board out part. I was asking about the professional services line.
Okay. The difference between the two, the modified number, as David corrected me properly, that's the actual amount of money that was spent in 2000. Well, I don't know why it's modified 2010 because we haven't finished 2010, so I can't tell you that.
No, well, because once the year starts, the system doesn't give you the original budget. It gives you the current budget, which is modified, which is called modified.
Okay. See, that's a David question for you, Dooley, because I'm not sure I understand it.
Well, our total budget book has modified 2010 throughout, so I've gotten used to that.
Okay. It does make it a little difficult to compare, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Martha.
So on that line, if an inmate has cancer and has treatment, is that where, if they're...
You pay for it, Martha. You and I pay for it, and every other taxpayer in Tompkins County.
And that's the line.
That is the line.
So that's why it can vary pretty widely. From
it does. It does. When we have cases of severe cancer or AIDS or other things like that, or AIDS treatment, the very expensive drugs, costs go up. I mean, we've negotiated contracts with drug companies that are very favorable, but nonetheless, when that type of situation comes, the medicine costs more, and we have to pay for it.
Any other questions about the jail? Peter?
So there's no insurance for that. You won't participate in the consortium when it comes to pass? Is that right?
Is that right? I'm glad you put a question on that. Thank you, Peter.
Employees.
We can't insure. I wish New York State would allow people that came into the jail that had insurance that we could utilize that before using taxpayer money, but the reality is that's not the way it's set up. The law is very clear. When you're in the custody of the sheriff, it's the sheriff's responsibility vis-a-vis the county's responsibility for the budget to take care of the inmates and all their needs.
Anyone else? Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll hire them all and let them be in the consortium. That sheet that I was talking about that we didn't have copies of, we now have copies of. And thanks to our friend Kathy. You are each going to get one. We are done. Joe, I don't think we're going to do the primer tonight. We'll get it out. I think you set up one webinar.
A webinar? Jim, where did you move mental health?
I didn't move it to anywhere yet. We have to get in touch with Bob and get back to him, or he'll get back to us. We're done. Thank you very much. The next meeting is October 7th.